Life is full of awesome what ifs, and some not so much, like unexpected medical costs. That's why United Healthcare provides Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans to supplement your primary plan and help manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
This is Internet Marketing. Welcome back to the show where we give you the lowdown, the inside information, the word from the experts to help you use the internet as part of your marketing machine. This is Andy White, and in episode 24, good heavens, we're a quarter of the way to 100. Episode 24, we have got two segments for you. First of all, we're having a look at, or revisiting, should I say, web spiders. We're talking web spiders here, not the sort of spiders that fall on your back when you are bending over to clean your teeth, having been on the bathroom ceiling. No, we're talking about web spiders, the things which crawl your website while you're not looking. And the main segment is an interview with a chap who is using videos to very good effect, so please stay tuned. But first, over to Dan. Daniel, we wanted to say some more about search engine spiders.
That's right. We haven't done anything on search engine optimization for a while, and I just wanted to take a step back and just remind people how the whole thing works and talk about some new developments as well. So search engine spiders, what a search engine spider is a piece of software that's run by Google or Yahoo or Microsoft Live, wherever it may be, the search engine, and it goes and visits websites, follows the links and reads the pages. It then takes those pages and reports back to Google, whoever it is, what the content of those pages is. Then Google takes that information and decides the theme of the page, what it's all about, and where the search results should come back. Okay, there are lots of other elements that go into deciding where the pages rank, but the search engine spiders purely read the pages and feed the information back. Okay, the key thing to remember about this is that they don't see the web page as you or I would see it, as the user sees it. Okay, they will see the code of the page rather than the page itself. So the HTML, the hypertext markup language, the stuff that the page is actually written in the first place, is what they read. So there's a few things because of that that you need to bear in mind. First of all, pictures. Search engine spiders can't understand pictures. And this is somewhere that some of the new news has come in that's quite interesting. There's been some research going on at a few of the universities to make computers understand what a picture is. Okay, which, as you can imagine, is quite a difficult thing for a computer to do. And unfortunately, all they can really recognise at the moment, apparently, is beach scenes and pornography. Now, the reason for that is a beach scene generally has yellow sand and pink people. Obviously, be very kind of Eurocentric from this point of view in terms of skin tones.
Yes.
And then also pornography tends to be lots of pink skin tones.
Lots of skin. Okay, yes.
So that, apparently, unfortunately, that's where we are at the moment. Which, you know, that, you know, I'm sure that covers quite a lot of the internet content, but not that useful for identifying pictures at the moment. And that's to the extent such that, do you know, when you go to a lot of websites and you try and log in and you have to put a word in to make sure that you're a person.
That funny wibbly wobbly word you have to copy.
And it's quite hard to read, and you can always put text. Well, they've realised that actually computers aren't bad at interpreting those if you write a bit of software, but they can't interpret pictures. So what they've started doing now, a new system, is it'll have a picture of a cat or a picture of a dog.
Yeah.
And you have to say if it's a cat or a dog. Simple as that. Computer finds that incredibly hard to do, because they've both got a blurry outline, they've both got four legs, they've got a nose sticking out, all that kind of thing. So I just wanted to reinforce that point.
Especially if you have a cat in some grass or something, or just the nose of a dog or something.
Exactly. Yeah. So there's all these kind of things you have to kind of look at, and computers can't understand images at the moment.
Yeah.
Okay, so search engine spiders, just bear that in mind, okay? Search engine spiders can't understand images at the moment. So you have to account for that. Okay, you have to remember the elements of the page that they'll be reading. And if you're interested in that a bit more, refer back to our search engine optimization podcast in particular that talks about all the different things. The one thing we've noticed lately, and this probably will change again, is that Google is visiting sites a little bit less than it was. Okay, Google seems to be making a lot of changes at the moment. There's lots of the local search stuff has been coming in. They're adding lots of pages to their index. For example, the online casino search, which is one that always brings up masses of results.
Yeah.
You search about online casinos. It seems to have increased its index by about 20 million pages.
Okay.
Which is a massive amount, and it just happened very suddenly. So obviously indexing lots of new websites.
Yeah.
They weren't before, which has meant that they're revisiting, the spider will be revisiting other pages a lot less. So what I wanted to mention this is, don't get concerned if you're looking at your weblogs and you're seeing the search engine spiders come back a lot less.
Okay.
Because it may just be that Google's getting on with something else in the background and they're busy doing that.
Just as a side, Daniel, how many... There must be hundreds and hundreds of instances of these spiders running at any one time.
Completely.
Do we have any idea how many?
I don't know off the top of my head. I mean, the way Google works, it's not one big, mega powerful computer.
No, it's a whole farm of servers, isn't it?
Smaller computers, smaller servers, absolutely.
Yeah.
So any of those servers, whichever way they're employed, could be going out and spidering and running software that's spying on the websites. Any one of those particular servers could be running 1,000 instances at a particular time.
Yeah.
And in order to cover the entire web, there must be tens of thousands, hundreds, if not millions, running at any particular time.
There must be,
So, but you have to realise there is limited computer power. And they're obviously always growing that, and they're always building it up and finding new ways of making it more efficient so they can run more in a parallel at the same time. But it has seemed, and we, you know, this is hearsay, really, let's be honest, because this is what we can just see from what we see.
We're just guessing, aren't we?
Yeah. But it seems that they have been visiting most sites a lot less. And across our clients and across a lot of our kind of competitors' clients, having spoken to them, the spiders are coming back a bit infrequently, less frequently at the moment.
Okay.
But probably going to see that pick up again in the future.
Okay.
So just a kind of thing to bear in mind. So never forget about search engine spiders, but your website should be built for users, not for search engine spiders. Try and make it easy for the spiders to see your website.
Yeah.
So refer back to our SEO podcast. But bear in mind, it's all about users and content.
Sure.
And as the theme of a lot of our content has been lately on the podcast, the most important thing on the web is content for users.
Yeah, so, absolutely.
And that's where we want to say at the
moment. Now, do you think it's still true that if you make a change to your website and the spiders recognise the change, or you resubmit it to Google, which I'm not sure if that's a good idea or not, perhaps you can comment on that.
Sure.
Is it still true that they'll come back a bit more often then?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, the search engines do like regularly updated content.
Yeah.
Because it sees the site's relevant.
This is why blogs go down so well, isn't
they
it?
They do, yeah. And what you'll find is that the search engines will come and visit your website. They'll come back the next time. They'll see there was new, fresh content then, so they'll visit more quickly the next time.
Yes.
That seems to have chopped and changed a bit at the moment because they seem to be so busy indexing more pages.
Sure.
But we seem to be falling back into that loop again now.
Right, okay.
And different websites will have different speeds of being indexed. Something's interesting, there's some webmaster tools now that you can get from Google. You go into Google, you register for Webmaster Tools, and you can see when the page was last indexed, if Google had any problems indexing your website, okay? And you can change the speed. So at the moment you've got normal, you can slow it down, so it visits less regularly.
Yeah.
Now that would be because you had a server that wasn't very powerful, and you didn't want it being slowed down by Google visiting all the time.
Right, yeah.
There is an option that says they're faster, but it's grayed out at the moment.
Right.
So unfortunately, you can't change it to be any faster at the moment. And there's a few other tools you can do as well. So the thing is, go to Google, search for Webmaster Tools, and you'll get the result up that gives you these tools.
That's a first, isn't it? Where we've actually been able to control the frequency that spiders, directly
absolutely.
Control the frequency that the spiders come.
I think that Google is realising that their approach at the moment of going out, visiting all websites, deciding the content and indexing it, is becoming inefficient because there is just too much content.
Yeah.
Okay. So they're having to add to that some input from people as well. So people saying, where are my web pages?
Yeah.
Here's a sitemap of all my pages and I'll tell you how relevant and important each page is.
Yeah.
So we can start adding guidance to what Google actually indexes and what they look at. And that helps Google do its job at the end of the day. They don't obviously trust all that information, but it gives them a guideline to start in the first place. There's also now a lot of information on Google and their blogs that tells you what they're looking for, what's a good thing to do on your website and what isn't a good thing.
Oh, okay.
So they're giving search engine optimization tips to a certain extent.
Here's a lovely example of a large corporation using a blog.
Oh, they have that.
Google themselves. Google. How long have they had a blog for ages, haven't they?
Yeah, they've got lots now. They've got dozens of blogs on all different topics.
Okay.
The best, if to look at any of this stuff that Google's doing, if you go to the front page and on the bottom of the page there's a very small About Us link.
Okay.
You click on that and you'll see lots of information about Google, things they're testing, things they've got in beta testing.
Right.
Tools that you can use as a webmaster if you've got your own website.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really worth having a look at what they're doing all the time. And the blogs are great because they tell you what they're up to at any particular time, so you can try and make some guidance from it. But for the first time, you can start to see what the spiders are up to, how they work, and actually, you know, get involved in the process a little bit. See when they last visited, if they had any problems looking at your web pages, did they find any broken links, things like that. So it can be really, really useful.
Just as a little aside, do you remember a little while ago, a few episodes back, we talked about Google doing this new map thing?
Yes.
Where if you register, say, I am here, and then you say yes to the bit of paper that comes to your door, you get a balloon. Are we seeing more of that in the UK now? Because I know it was mainly in the US, wasn't it?
Yeah, it's building up more and more. More people are registering for it, more people are using it, and the results are being used in more places. I mean, on the note of people actually getting things in the mail, with the AdSense accounts where you put Google Ads on your account, they're starting to send out a PIN number now as well. So people can't fraudulently use that.
Okay.
So it's interesting how Google, this big online kind of massive kind of agency and kind of company, is suddenly having to send things out by snail mail in the post to make sure things aren't fraudulent. So, you know, the old technologies have still got some pros and cons to them. So
there is still a role for paper-based mail.
Absolutely. I'm trying to find a use for pigeons.
We should bring them back. Absolutely. We should use pigeons to, I don't know, we'll fit them into it somewhere. We'll have cyber pigeons. We won't have spiders, we'll have pigeons.
It's going around indexing where people live. Well, anyway, we're going off tangentially here.
We are slightly. But thank you very much for your input, Mr. Daniel Rowles.
Thank you, Andy.
Right, so let's move right on to the next segment. Now, this is really interesting because last time we had Heather, who was using podcasting to help her really move on in the sort of, you know, getting a web presence up using podcasts. Well, this gentleman, David White, another guy who I interviewed at the Podcasting Summit several weeks ago now, he is using videos, and I think you'll find this very, very interesting. It's a little bit noisy, I'm afraid, but there's rather a lot of background noise because we were basically recording this in the middle of a restaurant. But I'm sure that you'll understand fully what he says, and enjoy. I'm at the Corporate Podcasting Summit in London, and I'm talking to David White. David is the CEO of Web Optimizer Group Limited, and David is doing something very interesting with video. What are you doing with video, David?
Interviewing friends of the family.
Jewelry isn't a gift you give just once. It's a way to remind your loved one of a beautiful moment every time they see it. Blue Nile can help you find the gift that says how you feel and says it beautifully, with expert guidance and a wide assortment of jewelry of the highest quality at the best price. Go to BlueNile.com and experience the convenience of shopping Blue Nile, the original online jeweler since 1999. That's BlueNile.com to find the perfect jewelry gift for any occasion. BlueNile.com.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
The family being the IAB, where I'm the chair of the search task force in the UK and for Europe. And I've got to meet some really excellent, interesting people from far afield. Some people, you know, who are managing directors and senior within their firms, and people from Google, Microsoft, Yahoo, and sort of leading players in the market, as well as people who run the IAB in the UK, Europe, Spain, Germany, France, Italy, and also speaking to people that are wanting to join the IAB. And at a recent conference, leadership conference on January 26th, so just a few weeks ago. I just decided at the last minute to turn up with my camera, and I had done a little bit of preparation. I'd worked out some questions to ask, and I put them on a PowerPoint on my laptop, and handed the controller of the laptop over to each person who the organizer of the event put my way, and asked them to run through a series of questions. And the result was 17 videos, of which 14 are usable, and are up there on iabeurope.ws.
Okay, so let me get this right. You videoed a load of experts on how they're using SEO?
On actually, that particular event was the leadership event for the IAB Council, or Interactive Advertising Bureau. And some of the people were there as speakers. Some of the people were there as country heads. They ran the IAB in different countries. Some of them were new, and some of them were planning to join. And basically what I did is I asked them questions about the internet, the advertising industry, how search was in their company, in their country or their company. So I was able to ask them questions about their industry, but I dropped in the conversation questions about search. And the questions, I did 17 interviews in the afternoon, turned into 14. And they're all listed at iabeurope.ws, and you can see everyone's answers. Anthony House from Google gave us an introduction of why Google was participating with the event. Caroline Voigt, who's the European Research Director for Microsoft, gave a lot of insights and revealed lots of her research data, which we got on video there. Elliot Nate from Jupiter Research just did an absolute thunderball presentation. It was fantastic. We've actually had to transcribe that, so that'll be good for search results as soon as I get that up. We had Metrics Lab, who also gave us some great feedback. Again, his video is up there. But we also had people from Spain, from Germany, from Romania, who were explaining how the internet industry was in their countries. And it was just interesting to get everyone's view down on tape.
Okay, so you've got all this fantastic content, useful to everyone. Two questions. What kind of response did you get? What kind of hit rate did you get to the videos? And secondly, how are you using it to benefit your web traffic and your kudos?
Well, the IAB Europe has included a link to its membership, and there's about 10,000 people that receive those emails. And you know, there's a typical percentage, you know, low percentage of actual click through and viewings. But interestingly, what I'm seeing is as the weeks progress, clearly understandably the viewings are continuing, and I've got them hosted on Google Video or video.google, and there's a report section there, and it shows you how many were played yesterday. And it's not just the best looking ones that get the best viewing figures, although there are some very good looking people there, I have to say. And it does prove, I think, to an extent, that content is king. My benefit really is that at the end of each video I get to flash my name, and if you like, I'm the sponsor by default, by arranging the video, by asking the questions. I also get an enormous value by meeting these people. Otherwise, I would have been a delegate amongst 200 other delegates and would have perhaps had five or six conversations. This way, I had 17 in one afternoon, plus five or six on each of the 2 days prior. Subsequently, I've also had lots of emails from people. I even had an email from a very large international company, and their opening line was, "We want to buy Web Optimizer." Naturally, I had a meeting with them, and we're in discussions. And that particular company, who's, you know, from a far off place, would never have found or understood Web Optimizer. But of course, on investigation, and they looked into us, and they started discovering our footprint, if you like, which included these videos, plus some other videos. I've done so many videos since then, really, in February alone. I've done 50. I went a bit mad. And so I've got 14 on the IAB Europe. Some of the videos turned out, in reality, are my customers. So I put my hands up and said, yeah, these are my customers. And I put them on a separate site and created a new site especially for them, which is semcasestudy.com. So you can go and see those videos. And some of them are hilarious because you won't see the equipment I use, but I think one of my clients, I was setting fire, the lights were so hot. He was complaining of getting a tan, and he made some comments to it. And that's it's the Virgin videos. Very, very entertaining. But just a couple of minutes each. And then I got a very interesting video of one results that I just never imagined that I would get. I expect when I ask my clients, you know, would you provide us a reference, to get an email saying, yeah, you're great, it's fantastic working with you, creating some fantastic results, and it's an absolute pleasure and godsend to work with one of our engineers. On video, I've had our clients open out for like 40 minutes, you know, extolling the benefits of Web Optimizer. And admittedly, I've had to cut that down to, you know, 6 or 7 minutes to make it worthwhile. But I've got a third set. So my two sets are my industry videos, the IAB, which is absolutely wonderful positioning for Web Optimizer and for myself. I've got my case studies, which of course is great for our sales team and future clients who get to understand a bit more about what to expect in the VIP service that we provide. Some of it very technical, some of it less so. And also, I think you'd be surprised, even if you're not interested in becoming a client of ours, just what the hell people do optimize. Because, you know, people say you can't optimize a block of cement. Well, I think you probably can. I've got a guy who's hiring us to optimize logs, and I mean he's tracking trees from stump to chair.
Oh, right.
I thought you meant like computer logs. You're talking about wooden logs, aren't you?
Wooden logs. Actual logs, yeah. And he goes on to explain that this IP technology of ours and his internet marketing is helping him lobby various governments around the world to fight global warming. And you know, illegal logging is a major contributor to global warming. So as drug barons sort of, you know, whip away the trees in Colombia and then sell them illegally, and we don't realise we might even be sitting on them, we are contributing inadvertently to global warming. So literally, through optimization, internet marketing, IP technology, all the way through back to blogging, okay, we are actually doing something and communicating the effectiveness of search and this internet technology to an astounding effects, to an extent where we can talk in terms of we're fighting global warming. I like that. That's a good thing.
So in summary, David, you cast your loaves upon the water in the form of high-quality video content, and they're coming back buttered in the form of lots of traffic and lots of inquiries and business, by the sound of it, as well.
It's absolutely fascinating. I'm living a dream at the moment. It's you know, it's a small investment. It was a risk. I put myself in the lion's mouth, really. I figured most of my staff came back afterwards and they said, when I heard you doing it, I thought that was a crackpot idea and it'd never work, and we're a search marketing company, what the hell are we doing videoing? We're going to confuse and upset all of our clients. But in fact, I've been able to use this content, compile it into DVDs, give it to our salespeople. It demonstrates our connections within the industry. We've got videos on there of Google, you know, Yahoo, MSN, etc. It explains to an extent why we bother with the IAB and the benefits that we get and the benefits to everyone. And also it does expand and explain the purposes and opportunities available to people in search marketing. And all of those things need to be communicated. But there's one final area, VIP briefing. I've ended up interviewing some very interesting people that are neither clients nor necessarily members of the IAB. So, for instance, whilst I did interview Nate for the IAB from Jupiter Research, it is a fantastically powerful presentation that he made to camera. And so I separated these out based on merit alone, where people have, you know, got a lot to say. And I don't mean to be rude about the ones that have got less to say. It's just that these people have got different things to say that I think are more appropriate. And I can categorise them as VIP briefings. I was thinking originally of cutting them in half and delivering half and say, you must sign up and then you get the other half. But actually, I've just plonked them on my website under VIP briefing, weboptimizer.com/VIP briefing.html. You'll see it from the front page. Click through, and I'm actually just presenting the videos in full for people to watch. And I believe that if people want to come back and want to see more content like that, they will. And actually, I don't really need to sell it, because people are either buying it and taking it and I'm doing good stuff for them, or not. And I hope eventually, and expect eventually, in fact already it's occurred, so it's not even an eventual outcome. I expect the links to our website to continue. I expect that we're going to get comments in people's blogs. I've got people queuing up for the next video round, and I'm really excited about the whole, this is, you know, thing. This is social networking, it's Web 2.0. It's all the things that we talk about, and it's an absolute pleasure to be doing it, and it's really not that painful.
David White from the Web Optimizer Group Limited, thank you very, very much.
Well, that's it for this week's show. Thanks for listening. Hope you enjoyed it. We'd love to hear from you. If you have any questions or comments that you'd like to have featured on the show, send them to info@academyinternet.com. And feel free to send in an MP3 file if you want to record what you want to ask, and we'll be happy to play those. If you're a subscriber, we'd like to thank you for your valuable time. If you haven't subscribed yet and you'd like this podcast delivered direct to your earbuds automatically, you can find Internet Marketing on iTunes or at the academyinternet.com or the summitsolutions.co.uk websites, and follow the subscription buttons. So this is Andy White signing off. Have a fantastic week, and we'll see you next time on Internet Marketing.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.